Welcome to the Monocle 24 Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Our guest this week is the broadcaster and DJ Nick Luscombe with a selection of the latest in Japanese electronica. That's all to come on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Stay tuned. And you are listening to the Monocle Arts Review. Our guest once again this week is Nick Luscombe. Nick, we are going to be talking about Japanese electronica. I will confess up front that were I ever invited to go on Mastermind, it would not be something I would consider as my specialist subject.
Okay.
What was your way into it? How did you become a fan of Japanese electronica? You've been there quite recently, I understand.
Yeah, I've just come back. I first went about, almost 20 years ago, for the very first time, and just discovered a load of really interesting electronic music at the time, and have kind of followed, I don't know, the path of that music through some of those artists and some of the people that I met and the record labels as well. So I guess it was just kind of, you know, very first time going there, going record shopping, and that was the exciting music for me at the time that I kind of went there for the first time.
I mean, it does seem, if you are going to take the most broadly stereotypical view of the Japanese nation that you possibly could, a fairly congruent kind of music for them to be making, given their post-war industrial heritage. But is Japanese electronica noticeably different from European or American electronica? Is there something specifically Japanese about it?
Yeah, I always thought so, and that's why I was really drawn to it. For me, there was a large element of detail in that work, whereas a lot of British electronic music from the time was, and since then, has been less detail-orientated and more kind of a feel thing, I think. That's always been the important thing. Whereas the Japanese tend to work, I mean, like some of these examples that I'm going to play today, for me, it's all about the detail, and it is, I think that is the essence of Japanese design, isn't it, and creativity generally.
Well, indeed so. Or you could expect that all their electronic music would be just really small but reliable.
Yes.
Let's listen to the first track. Shakushane, who or what are they?
So this is Wednesday Campanella. In Japanese, it's Suyobi no Campanella. It's a three-piece. There's a female singer called Kon Ai, who I spoke to when I was over there, actually. And she's, after releasing five albums independently, they've just been signed by Warner. So I think, and they've built a huge following in Japan and on the radio. It's very interesting because it's they're kind of from an art base, I suppose, rather than music. And they tell stories about Japan, which are very appealing, obviously, to Japanese people. So, so I just find them fascinating. The new album's coming out very soon. There's been no leaks of any of that music yet. But so this is the track from the album that came out last year, but it's rarely been heard here in the UK.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit of it. This is Shakushane by Wednesday Campanella. Shakushane by Wednesday Campanella, the first selection by this week's guest music reviewer, Nick Luscombe. That particular track became a minor cult hit back in their hometown, didn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of all about Sapporo in Hokkaido. So it's the video is all about, all the great things that the singer loves about it. I mean, there are references to yakisoba. That's pretty much the thing that I keep enjoying when I hear that, making me feel quite hungry. But they're becoming quite big now, and a lot of people know about them. They're sort of, and I think there are hopes that they're going to be one of those bands from Japan that actually do make it outside the country as well.
It's one of those tracks because it is, though it is, it falls under, I guess, the heading of electronica. It doesn't have that that slightly forbidding sense of austere experimentalism that usually comes with electronica, or often comes with electronica. I mean, that's very recognisably a pop tune. You can kind of imagine that going slightly Gangnam Style, can't you?
Yes, very true.
Is there a ridiculous dance routine attached to it yet?
Not as far as I've seen, but you never know. With a major record label deal, maybe they can, you know, invest in that kind of nonsense.
They should get working on that.
Yeah.
Your second selection today is Meta Inori.
Yeah.
What do we know about them?
Well, this is just something I picked up on a five-hour excursion to Tower Records in Shibuya, spending a lot of time listening to all the different listening posts. Because, you know, I can't read the language, and it's just a lot of listening and trying to figure things out. And this was a very obscure kind of release. This is the least commercial and poppy of all the tracks today. But I read, I think it was Tiny Mixtapes did a review of it and described it as deadpan J-pop, which is interesting.
That sounds an extraordinarily counterintuitive proposition.
It does. I totally agree. But when you hear it, I think it makes sense. But all I know is she's called Hikari, and she works kind of in a bedroom making this music. And it's very quiet. You can tell that she lives in the middle of a block in Shibuya where you have to be quiet. And so she's making this whispery, quiet, poppy electronica.
Okay, the track is called Human Moments in World War III. This is it. Human Moments in World War III by Meta Inori, the second selection by today's guest music reviewer, Nick Luscombe. Yeah, you described it, or said it had been described as deadpan J-pop, but deadpan doesn't really do it justice, does it? That was sort of J-pop without the J, or without the pop. It was, in fact, just J.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's there's no real hook in there, is there? That's for sure. But it's, again, I think I was talking about that detail earlier. There are little moments in there. There are bits in there that remind me of a producer called Ray Harakami. And I don't know if he was involved in that. I know he's been dead for a little while. But certainly in terms of influences, there are little moments in there which are kind of, to me, just sound very Japanese. Obviously, there's the language and the kind of whispery, sort of high-pitched kind of vocal. But I don't hear that music coming from anywhere else, really.
It does have that sense you talked about as well of it coming from a densely packed urban centre. That is very much the sort of music you make in a kind of claustrophobic environment where you're trying really hard not to wake the neighbours up.
That's absolutely true, isn't it? I totally agree. Yeah.
That may explain the relative absence of punk rock bands from this week's music selection. Your final track this afternoon, whenever people are listening to it, Electromotive Romances, which is the most electronica title for a song I can possibly imagine. What do we know of its creators?
So Julie Watai and Mishmash, this is introduced to me by a friend who's a DJ in Japan who's explaining this to me, a guy called Ken Nishikawa. He was telling me that this is all about an Akihabara kind of sound. Akihabara being, you'll know from probably when you went there, that's where all the electronics are, that's where all the big kind of manga hangouts are. So this is really like a combination of everything in that world. It's kind of cute, that kind of kawaii thing, mixed and merged with technology. The videos are all about that as well. And the music is, yeah, this is like super hyper J-pop, if you like, mixed in with a kind of really, really techie production.
We talked about deadpan J-pop being a contradiction in terms. Hyper J-pop seems kind of a tautology. So this is hyper even by the standards of J-pop.
I think so.
Saying.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's full on. Yeah.
Okay, that is quite a billing. Let's hear some of it. Electromotive Romances by Julie Watai and Mishmash. That's weirdly, I quite like that, which surprised me a bit, because my tolerance for the sort of prim and cutesy in pop music is usually fairly low. But that does have those weird amounts and layers of detail that you were talking about. Serious work has gone into that backing track.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's really, really good. I mean, it works. you know, I hate to say this in a way, but it really works so well with the video as well, which also has like a similar kind of detail thing. And there's an English version as well, if you go on YouTube. So, which is quite nice.
Okay, well, just finally before we go, if your selection of those three tracks this week has piqued the interest of any listeners in finding out more about modern Japanese electronica, are there any particularly good places to start looking?
Yeah, actually, yeah, there are. The best place to find really, you know, good amounts of Japanese music that's really new and fresh is a Japanese download store, but you can access it everywhere, and it's called Ototoy. O-T-O-T-O-Y, so Ototoy.
Okay.
And it's, you can find pretty much all of this. And it's incredible. It's available worldwide. It's, like I said, based in Shibuya in Tokyo. And it's just a great way in. If you can't be going over there very often, it's, you know, it's the way to do it.
Or, of course, people could just listen to the music programming here on Monocle 24, where we play plenty of that kind of thing.
Yes.
That does bring us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Nick Luscombe. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. For more audio treats, head to our live music show, The Sessions, at Midori House on monocle.com. There are loads and loads of fantastic live performances awaiting your ears. We will be back at the same time tomorrow with our weekly theatre review. But for now, it's goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.